Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you for your blessing in our lives. We thank you for sending Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that this sending was a wonderful event. It was an event that is so significant that all of history hinges upon it. And Father, we ask that this morning you reveal to us the wonderful love that you've shown. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning I'm going to be looking at God's wonderful love through Christ. So let's start with John chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. John 3, verses 16 to 18. And I was thinking about what love is. And there is biblical love and there is worldly love. And you know, biblical love always shows a love that is a giving type of love. And in fact, the greatest gift, the greatest love is that of giving. And so we see in John 3, starting from verse 16, we see, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now what we see here is, first of all, God's extended to the world in the giving of his precious Son. It says his only begotten Son. The word begotten talks about a special birth. A special birth. And, of course, we know that he was born of the Virgin Mary. So we see that God so loved the world. Now, why did Jesus come is the big question. Why did he come? Why was it necessary to come to the world? Why was it necessary for God to give his only begotten Son? And so it's important for us to think about that. And the fact is that if you look around on the planet Earth today, you see a cursed world. You see a cursed place. You see all types of misery and death and all types of things that... If you look in the beginning, in Genesis, it wasn't so right at the beginning, but something happened. And the Bible talks about sin entered into the world by the disobedience of man. And you'll notice in verses 16 to 18 there that God came to save the world, to save the world. Verse 17 says that the world through him might be saved. In other words, the world needs saved. And the world now is differentiated from the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is where the people of God are. Jesus said that we are in the world but not of the world. The world is made up of those who do not acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's important for us to see that, according to verse 16, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's important to see that people without Christ are not automatically given everlasting life. Because it talks about that word believeth. It gives us the word believeth there. And if we go into other scriptures, which we'll look at, that's referring to trust. To trust, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Other scriptures talk about him saving those that call upon his name, trusting in him as the saviour, as their personal saviour. So it's not, oh, as soon as I've been born again, born into a Christian family, I'm a Christian. That's not the case at all. According to the scriptures, people have to make a decision to believe in him, to believe, to trust him. And we'll see some more scriptures as we go on. Now, the Bible makes it clear that Christ is precious and that he was God manifest in the flesh. So that is a wonderful thing that happened, God has given himself. God has manifested himself. Now, there's a lot of people that reject the Lord Jesus Christ to their own detriment, because as you see in verse 16, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Many people don't believe they are perishing, and that's the really sad thing, because it's not hard to see there's something really wrong with the world and the earth and so on. The Bible tells us what it is. Sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So it's not a coincidence. But what we do know is that God provided the solution, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Let's have a look at Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 35. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 35. Now, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is one of the most significant events in the history of mankind. And in fact, the Bible is very clear that Jesus is the centre of history. We can go through many scriptures talking about that, but what we have to see is that there were many prophecies in the Old Testament written hundreds of years before Christ came, and that he fulfilled it in his birth, in his life, in his death and his resurrection. He fulfilled all of those prophecies. There were many, many. We don't have time to go through those, but it is a fact. The Old Testament was written well before Christ, and the Bible is very clear that the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem, that there was to be a timeline and so on. And what we see here is that, let's read it in Luke 1, starting from verse 26. In Luke 1. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favoured, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. There are a lot of miraculous events happening around the birth of Jesus. We should not discount miracles. In fact, they happen today as well. Not the virgin birth, of course, because these were specific miracles. But it's very important for us to see that God has entered into history. History is not some random things that have happened, but history is very much God has decreed certain things, and God has made certain things available, and through sending the Lord Jesus Christ as the Saviour, he has made salvation available to people today. He's made it available. Now, he's not going to force it on anyone. It's through his word, it's through the gospel that he makes the good news known, so that people can then believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. So we see the word tells us in verse 31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Now the word Jesus means Jehovah saves, and Jehovah is the name of God the Father. The Bible's clear about that. So we see that the Son of God is called Jesus, Jehovah saves. It tells us right in that name that there was a mission. There was something very clear that God wanted to accomplish in the birth, life, death, and burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it was a very clear set of happenings that the Lord had both prophesied in the Old Testament and had shown through his word and through events in history to have happened. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Romans 5 verse 8. So I want you to see that even though sin entered into the world and death by sin, and we're not just talking about physical death there, but also talking about spiritual death where people are separated by their sins from God. Even though that happened, God just didn't say, well, mankind has rejected me, therefore I'm not going to do anything. That's not the case at all. In Romans 5 verse 8, notice what it says here, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God commendeth his love toward us. In other words, God extended his love, his giving love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What is that talking about? The word sinner means a servant of sin. God wants to save us so that we're no longer serving sin, but we're serving him. And the Bible talks about Christians, those who are saved, as being people that serve Christ, serve the Lord, serve righteousness. But you see, God didn't say, well, you're all sinners, you've rejected me, therefore I reject you. Now, God extended his love to mankind. God so loved the world that he gave. See, that in itself shows the love of God. Now, as I said before, there's many that reject this, but they reject it to their own detriment. A, they might say, well, I don't believe that it even happened. But of course, there's a lot against that type of statement. Or I don't believe in God. Well, once again, there's a lot against that. Or I don't believe the Bible, it's full of error. Once again, we could spend a lot of time, and if you've been in Victory Faith Centre for very long, you'll know that the Bible is very accurate and true. So God extended his love. He commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, that is, without Christ, serving sin, Christ died for us. So people must, right at the very beginning, they can't deny this. They've got to say, well, yes, I have sinned against God. In other words, I have done the wrong things against God's law. They have to acknowledge that. If a person doesn't acknowledge that, then they can never acknowledge that they need a saviour. They can never say, well, I need to be saved. So they've got to acknowledge that they need to be saved from sin. And that's the very first step, that people acknowledge that. See, God commendeth his love toward us. He didn't leave us in the dark or say, you just stay sinners. You made your choice and that's it. Now, he's given people a choice now to receive or not to receive. This is important, very important. Ephesians chapter 2, let's look at that, verses 4 to 9. Ephesians 2, verses 4 to 9. So I pray that this morning you're seeing that Christ's birth was not a random event, but a planned event. And Christ's birth was for a particular reason to come. In Ephesians 2, verses 4 to 9, let's look at this. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's a lot in this section of Scripture, but let's just work through it and we'll see what it's saying here. Verse 4, God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. God is rich in mercy. And if you know God, if you've been born again, if you're saved, you'll know that that statement is very true. Verse 5, even when we were dead in sins. Now, death is not extinction. Death is separation. The Bible's very clear that if you die physically, there's the separation of your inner man from your outer man. It's as simple as that. And the inner man goes to either heaven or hell. The scripture's clear. Now, we know that spiritual death, as it says here, dead in sins, is once again separation from God and everything that God has done. And what we see is that sin is a separating factor. And so what we have to see in this is that it wasn't God's will that any should perish, but that he should extend his love out. And we see here that even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Grace means God's favour, God's extension of love towards us. And notice the word quickened made us alive, which is the opposite to death, isn't it? See, when you're saved, when you receive the Saviour, your sins are washed away. And when your sins are washed away, you're quickened, you're made alive, and you're raised up. You're raised up. And that's spiritually raised up, and also there's the resurrection, the physical resurrection to come. But you know, God, if you go down to verses 8 and 9, God has said that it is not a random thing, it is not something that's by chance. You have to make a decision. You have to be very clear that you understand your need to be saved. You know, spiritually, all those without Christ are dead in sins because they haven't received the Saviour. They haven't said, well, I do need to be saved. See, verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Now, faith is telling us you need to say, well, I believe your word is true. And you say, I believe what the gospel said is true, what the word says is true, and I choose to receive. I choose to receive. You see, faith is not just, oh yes, I have faith, and it's not just words. Faith is always action upon God's word. And the more you walk in Christ, the greater you'll see that, because there's so much in God's salvation, so many riches. And you can see here, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now think about that, the gift of God. Once again, we see God giving, his love extending in giving. And so salvation is a gift. You cannot earn it. No man or woman, no one can earn God's salvation. And it says in verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, Jesus did the work of salvation, of providing salvation. He was the one that took people's sins upon himself on the cross. He's the one that was died and was buried and raised from the dead and presented himself to God the Father. So he's the one that has purchased salvation for us, and God is not willing that any should perish. He's given this gift, but you know, I can say, here, take this gift. But if you don't reach out and take it, you'll never have it. Because God's not going to force it on you. And he wants people to take that gift. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Luke chapter 2, starting from verse 8. So God's love is shown in the gift of salvation. Luke chapter 2, starting from verse 8. And we'll go to verse 18 in Luke 2. Starting from verse 8, it says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour." Notice capital S for Saviour. A special person. "A Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told by the shepherds." So you see, there is, as it says in verse 10, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." And this is good news. And it's of great joy. Because God has not just abandoned people. God has sent the Saviour, capital S, the only one, the only begotten Son of God. He sent the Saviour to save mankind. And this is the reality. This is something that if you believe on Christ, you come into the kingdom of God. And there are such treasures in the kingdom of God and in his word as it's hardly able to be described, really. You have to learn of it. So we see here that Christ the Lord. And so people have to acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ, acknowledge him as the Lord and as the Saviour. Praise the Lord. And I'd like to finish with John chapter 1, verses 10 to 13. John chapter 1, verses 10 to 13. You see, as I said before, the Lord is not random. He has done things very specially, and sending the Lord Jesus Christ was for a particular purpose. Now we see in John chapter 1, starting from verse 10, and we'll go to verse 13. This is talking about Jesus Christ. "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But," and this is significant in verse 12, "but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So the important thing to see here is verse 12, "as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." So God has made a way for us to become the children of God. He's made that way. And it requires each person to say, yes, I do need to be saved. I acknowledge that The Lord Jesus Christ was sent for a purpose. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And I do need to acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ. And here it tells us how we can be saved. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. But you know, every person to come into the kingdom of God, every person that would be saved must come to a decision point in their life where they say, well, I've lived my life for myself, but now I want to live my life for God from this time forward. And that means every person must come to that position of believing on Christ and saying, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to live for the Lord. Well, let's close our eyes and bow our head as we come before the Lord this morning. And I want to give every person here an opportunity because it's very, very important. You've heard the word this morning. You've heard the word of God that the Lord Jesus Christ was sent. You've heard that people are dead in trespasses and sins and are perishing, and they need to be saved by the Saviour. You've heard that we must receive him at a particular decision point. We receive him as our Saviour. I believe the Lord has spoken to people here this morning, and you know, it's important that you look to God. Every decision in this, you're not doing it for man, you're doing it for the Lord. And I'd like to, first of all, I want to address two lots of people here. First of all, if you've never received Christ as your Saviour, if you've never said, Lord, I acknowledge that I need to be saved, that I have sinned against God, if you've never done that, and you've heard the word of God, you've heard it on the inside, you know that God is speaking through his word and his spirit. If you've never done that, I invite you to do that now. So raise your hand if you've never done that, because, you know, the Lord needs you to make a firm decision at a particular time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Now, the second type of person, now this is important. You have sometime in your past, you've said yes to the Lord Jesus Christ, but you've been diverted somewhat. There's been some things that have happened, you've been diverted, and you've found yourself growing cold to the things of God. You may not have fellowshiped for some time, you may not have read the word or in praying, whatever it is, you know that you need to come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to make a firm commitment to him and say, I want to live fully. I want to be a hot Christian. If you're in that category, I once again invite you to raise your hand and acknowledge to the Lord, and I'll pray for you. And you'd like to do that this morning. We thank you, Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us. And as we remember the Lord Jesus Christ, as we remember today, it was no random event, but it was an event that was so miraculous and wonderful. God has shown his wonderful love through Christ. We thank you for that, Lord. We praise you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You know, the Lord wants us to live for him, and if you've heard the word today and you want more, you want to know more, we invite you to continue fellowshipping and to say, Lord, I want to go your way. You can always talk to one of the elders in this church. Praise the Lord.